See you. We're in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Now recall, we're in our 5 G's, grace, growth, group, gifts, giving. This is the last day in the series, giving. And today we're going to look at the parable of the shrewd manager. Parable of the Shrewd Manager, Luke 16. Our purpose today is to take on Jesus' eternal perspective of managing our earthly resources of money and time. You know, people often try to acquire possessions to secure their future and live confidently in the present. And here Jesus is using an example of the shrewd manager to reveal the foolishness of hoarding earthly riches. I like to watch films, and I particularly like dramas. I really don't go for comedies. Comedy's not what it used to be, if you know what I mean. There was a film that starred Michael Douglas. I was trying to remember something. Yeah, Michael Douglas. And it was based on a character. They said it was fictional, but I really believe it was based on a character off of Wall Street, Gordon Gekko. Do you remember the film called Wall Street? And the film was Money Never Sleeps. It was directed by Oliver Stone. Oliver Stone directs some very controversial, good discussion point films. And Gekko became the symbol of the popular culture for what? Greed. Yeah, greed. You know? Make all you can all you can, and keep the can, right? You know? Yeah, greed. And there was a line in the film, do you remember what he said? Greed is good. All right? Now, at your tables, here's your question. Here's your question. Why do we like money? Ready, go. Why do we like money? Okay, what say you? Why do we like money? We want. Okay? Why do we like money? It's what you can do with it. Okay? Good or bad things with money. Okay? What else? To share. Okay? We like money to share with others. Okay? Yes? Status. Yes, status. Okay? Why do we like money? Go ahead, Melba. What was your answer? I heard your answer. What was it? So we can buy things, yes.
For the grandchildren,
yes.
Well, and we build our churches.
We build our churches with money, yes. Okay. You can afford health care, that's right. That's right. If you have money, you can afford health care. You pay your taxes with your money, yes. Yeah. Okay. We like money, don't we? Yeah, we like money. And as Sandra's comment, money can be used for good. It can be used for evil as well. All right? Number one, our use of money is a good test of the Lordship of Christ. Luke 16, verse 1. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you?" give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. Now, are you confused? Yeah, you're in a good place. This is a very confusing parable to unwrap. Okay? Now, I want you to go ahead on your outline and give yourself an A, because I'm, to the best of my ability, I'm going to explain this to you in a way that we can all understand it. Okay? Tell me, what's the main issue? What's the main issue here?
Stewardship.
Yeah. Stewardship. And what about stewardship is the main issue?
Him handling somebody else's money.
Now let's go a little deeper than that, okay? What's the real issue here about stewardship and handling somebody else's money?
He took his master's money and gave it away.
What else do you notice in that story? That's right. Good. It's not how you give your money, but how you live. Selfish. Have you, and don't answer out loud, but have we been selfish with God from time to time with our money? Of course we have. And it's like in the early 90s when they started rewriting some of our favorite hymns, our timely hymns, you know. And they rewrote the hymn, I Surrender All. And it was rewritten, I Surrender Some. I Surrender Some, you know. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way became Have Mine Own Way, Lord. Have Mine Own Way. Now that's humor. Yeah, that's humor. It didn't really happen, you know. But I used that as an illustration. You know, the minister of music started leading us, and he said, now I'm going to sing the first verse, and you can join in with me on the second verse. And he sat down at the piano, have mine own way, Lord, have mine. And people started going, and he goes, and then the pastor stood up, he said, well, isn't that the truth? Yeah, sure it is. We by nature tend to have a selfish streak in all of us, if we're honest, you know.
And who is it that causes that selfishness to arise? It's the old devil. That's right. It's the old devil. It's the old devil. So how we use our money, and Jesus says this, is a good test of how we feel about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:33, who knows it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what else? All these things shall be added unto you. I have a good friend that sets his alarm clock at 6:33. And he wakes him up and he prays and he quotes that verse and he sets it in the PM. Sets the alarm, 6:33. So you may have a favorite verse, you know, that you can set your alarm for. Why? So, why should we use the money that God has given? Because God's given us the money, right? Right? So why should we use the money God has given us wisely? He told us to. What else? Yes?
Well, because you're entrusted and you have to fulfill your obligation to be a steward, you have to be trusted.
Yeah. A steward is someone that can be trusted. So God is trusting us with the financial resources that He has given us. So, how can money be used for... Well, I'm not going to ask you that question. Okay. Because you know the answer to that. And we said it earlier, money can be used for good or evil, right? Money can be used for good and evil. And Christians have to be careful about the motivation of how we use our money. We have to be very careful about that. All right? So that was number two. Number three, money in many respects equals power. Money in many respects equals power. So we have to use that wisely. We have to use it wisely. Number four, we must use our material goods in a way that foster our faith, that advances our faith. We must use our money in a way to be obedient to God. Yvonne?
That verse about casting bread upon the bottom and then go return. I always thought about Jesus on the bread, but it means the wealth that once you have, you do it and then come back.
Yeah. Yeah. If you give, blessed are those who give, right? And think about your grandchildren, children or grandchildren. Think about how joyful you are when you give them a gift, present. Yeah, isn't that right, Mincy? Yeah, it just brings you great joy to see their reaction. Okay, and God's done the same thing with us. It gives God great joy to give us a gift to bless us. So why did Jesus applaud the steward in this story? You don't know. Okay, good answer. Good answer. Okay? Good answer. The steward had addressed the situation clearly and had planned a bold and decisive action that would benefit others, and he executed the plan effectively. So Jesus applauded him for that. But many Christians act without skill or discretion when it comes to financial matters. We do. You know, we can be skilled in everything else, but when it comes to our money, you know, we're dumb. You know, we're just dumb. Many Christians downplay investing. Investing, preparing for the future. And those of you that are on retirement incomes now know how important it was to invest wisely for you and to prepare for your retirement. Other Christians downplay budgeting. we're just going to, we're not going to do a budget. We're just going to freewheel, and whatever comes in, we're going to spend it. Yeah. Or business principles. You ever bought a car? You know, that's the most miserable experience that for a Christian that you can have. My brother and sister-in-law were here last few days, and they couldn't come with us today, come with me today, because he has a meeting in Houston. He's with Campus Crusade for Christ, so they're traveling to Houston. But my brother can tell you just about everything there is about a car, okay? And I think he's part Jewish, because he buys cars for himself and then sells them and makes a profit, you know. And he knows which cars to buy, you know. So I was asking him last night, we were watching Tennessee win last night, and I was asking him, there's no extra charge for that. So I was asking him, so what's hot right now? What's the hot car? And he began to tell me, you know, what the hot car is, you know, and everything like that. Now, our only daughter has inherited some of my brother's DNA.
Uh-oh.
All right? And so she was finishing grad school up here and was going to buy her first car on her own. And so Becky said, you know, John, you need to go with her. You need to help her out, you know, and everything like that. And my daughter walks in and she finds a car she wants, and the sales manager says, well, what interest rate? She said, I've already got my loan approved, but I'd like to know what interest rate you're going to give me. And the sales manager said, well, no, you tell me what interest rate you're going to have. And she said, we don't play that way. You know? And she said, I told him that he could take his car and go park it somewhere else. And so I told Becky, you know, she doesn't need us. She was being shrewd. She was being shrewd, you know. And, you know, we can be taken advantage of. You know, we don't have to be a doormat, you know, in this world. You know, we need to stand up for what is right, you know. Actually, Jesus didn't want us to focus on the details as much as on the lesson to be learned here. Okay? People in this world are shrewder in dealing with their own kind than they are with people of the light. Did you notice that? Now, people of the world, who's that?
The
unbelievers. That's right. That's the unbelievers. People of the light, who's that? That's us. That's us. It was the disciples, those who were following Jesus right then. So the shrewd manager sizes up the situation, makes some decisions, comes up with a strategy, and did what was needed. Now, was Jesus commending, Ron, was Jesus commending the dishonesty?
No.
Was he commending the dishonesty? Ron says, sounds like it. Lynn, you're shaking your head no. Yeah. No, Jesus is not commending the dishonesty, but rather the foresight and the diligence in which this manager was acting. Now we're walking a tightrope here. Okay? We're walking a tightrope here. The manager did not profit directly from the debts, but he used the principal to gain favor with the debtors. By giving the favor, the manager could require favor from them. So the debtors would be indebted to the manager. Then Jesus added, look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So we're to make, why are we to make good financial decisions? To get into heaven? No. You see that? Not to get into heaven. Okay? But to use what God has given us to help poor people, to help widows, to help missionaries. So he wants us to be shrewd. He wants us to be wise with how we manage our money. Now, look at verse 10. This is a good verse to underline. who can be trusted with, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? How am I doing, Ron?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, that's okay. Now, how people handle their worldly wealth shows what? How people handle their money shows what about them? Wisdom? Stewardship?
It's their priorities.
Their priorities? Okay.
Who's Lord?
One more time?
Who's Lord?
Who's Lord? Trust. They show their trust. Yes. All those are correct. I like the word trust. They show their trust in the Lord. Because who gave it to us? The Lord. The Lord gave it to us. All right. So if a person can be trusted with a little bit, if he or she maintains integrity in small matters, where, you know, a little slip, a little mistake might not show up, then that person can be trusted with large things. So you prove yourself. You prove yourself. Okay? Now, what's the reverse of that scenario? All right, what's the reverse of that? Keep going. What's the reverse of that? If you can be trusted with little things, you can be trusted with a lot of things. What's the reverse of that? Yeah, and I'm going to use, she says, if you can't be trusted with little things, you can't be trusted with big things. I'm going to put it out a little more bluntly. If you learn to steal little, you'll learn how to steal big.
Yeah.
See it? You see it? So if we can be trusted with little things, we can be trusted with a lot. But if we learn how to steal little, we'll learn how to steal big. In the oil industry, the first thing they told me was, never steal. They said, you're going to be tempted with bribes for a vendor to get a job. So they're going to offer you all these bribes, you know. And they said, they tell me, just steal big because you'll get fired. If you're going to steal, steal big. Because you'll get fired. And I saw that happen. Every penny that we have comes from the Lord. Every penny that we have comes from the Lord. So if somebody hasn't been trustworthy in handling even a penny, then how can God trust them with a million? See? If someone has not been trustworthy with somebody else's property, then how can they be given heaven as an eternal reward? So it comes down to integrity. Integrity often meets its match when it comes to money. And God calls every one of us to be honest in little things that could easily be rationalized away. For example, you know, that's just a little thing. It's not worth that much money. You know, don't worry about it. But think about how wealthy we are with heaven. Think about heaven's riches and what we've got to look forward to. Starts today. Sermon series starts today about heaven. You know, and as I've told you before, being a Christian may not pay you very much, but retirement is out of this world. Number two. Some of you will get that later, you know, so try not to laugh out loud. Okay. Number two. We should let God be our master, not money. Now that seems kind of simple, right? Look at verse 13. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. On your list of things, on the list of things people love, unfortunately, in some people's lives, money ranks ahead of God. ranks ahead of God. God's number one. I mean, that money's number one. God's somewhere down the list. Right?
Yes.
What did Jesus say?
Rich man cannot enter.
Yeah, that's another parable. Rich man cannot enter the kingdom of God. What did he say in verse 13? No man can serve two masters. You ever had two bosses? Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. Yeah, you're like a ping pong ball, going back and forth. And he says it here, you can't serve two masters. So from a spiritual standpoint, we're going to serve something.
That's right.
Right? We're going to serve something. And here God speaking through Jesus Christ gives us two choices, God or money. People can choose to serve money. In essence, that means serving themselves, acquiring possessions, all the pleasures of anything money can buy. Or the other choice is God. We can choose to serve money, or we can choose to serve God. But nobody can do both. No one can serve both of those. For these two choices are diametrically opposed to one another. You can't serve God, you can't serve money. When money is your master, what happens? What happens to people when money is the master?
It takes over.
It takes over in what way?
Everything. That's all you think about.
The more you have, the more you want. You know, it's that desire to acquire more and more and more and more. You get greedy. Exactly right.
You think selfishly.
You think selfishly. When money is your master, you're devoted to your master. When God is your master, you're devoted to God. So avoid mistaken judgment here. There are many wealthy Christians in the world who are genuinely serving God. And God has blessed them with the ability to make lots of money. Okay? And I have friends who give it away. You know, the very wealthy, they give it away. And you shouldn't be sitting there feeling guilty that, well, you know, I work hard. I work hard for what I get. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to work hard, and that's a reward for working hard. But that's not the issue. Money in some people's minds, is the means to an end. And they tragically make wealth the end, the thing to serve, their God. For Christians, money is a means of service. It's a means of service. It's never the ultimate goal. Money is, think of it this way, money is God's loan to us for being a good steward. It's a loan to us. And money can easily take first place in people's lives and become your master. Now, at your table, discuss this. How do people become slaves to their money? Ready, go.
You can become a slave.
Okay, how can people be slaves for their money? Two ways, all right, listen up. Money's first. If you get in debt, you're a slave to your money. Okay. How can people become a slave to their money? Good answer.
Trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Trying
to keep up with the Joneses, the culture. Right.
Being overextended.
Being overextended, yes. Yeah, you can let the budget control you. That's right.
It's by putting something
more important than God.
Yeah. Putting something ahead of God. Exactly right. I'm going to give you some reasons. Here's how you can tell if somebody is a slave to their money. They worry about it all the time. They're consumed by it. All right? Number two, they give up what they're doing or what they should do or would like to do in order to make more money. There's nothing like being happy in a job, right? Nothing like it. Number three, do you spend a great deal of time caring for your possessions? If you do that, you might be a slave to your money. Number next, is it hard for you to give your money away? If it is, you might be a slave to your money. And then the last one I'll give you is, are you in debt? Are you in debt? You might be a slave to your money. Now, when I teach stewardship, I say there's two things that it's okay to be in debt for. A mortgage, not many people can pay cash for a house. And a car. Okay, it came out this week, the average new car loan is $29,000. $29,000. Yeah. My parents didn't pay $29,000 for their house. You know? So if $29,000, and Tommy, you're sitting there going like, that's unbelievable. You know, $29,000 is the average new car loan. You know? How high does it go? You know? So, if you've got some credit card debt, I'm going to tell you how to pay it off. Okay? All right? This is very painful to do, but you have to list all your credit card debt. Okay? You know, Visa, Discover, American Express, you know. You have to list all your debts. Okay? Not debit card, because that's coming out of your checking account. All right, this is credit cards. All right? You have to list them all. All right? Then I would list the smallest debt first. And then go down to the biggest debt. It's not as painful to do it that way. Okay? Then in the next column, you're going to write down what's the minimum payment that I'm making on this. All right? Now I'm assuming that you've already done your budget, so you know how much money you've got coming in and how much is going out. And you want your coming in money to be larger than your going out money. Okay? So you pay off that little one first, all right? Then you take the money that you're paying on the little one and you add it to number two. Okay, you add it to that payment, and you just keep knocking it down. When my father got sick, he had $20,000 in credit card debt. It was mostly medical bills. And I started paying off his debts, and there wasn't enough money to do this, you know, but God helped us, and we whittled it down until we got all of his debts paid off. So money is not only a hard manager, it's a deceptive manager. And wealth promises power and control, but often cannot deliver. Great fortune can be made and lost overnight. Some of you have experienced that. You know, if you lose everything, there's no amount of money that can provide health or happiness. You've lost everything. You still have eternal life, though.
Amen.
You still have eternal life. So let God be your master and his servants. Have peace. Verse 14. Our good friends the Pharisees come on the scene, who dearly loved their money, naturally scoffed at all this, and he said to them, "You like to look good in public, but God knows your evil hearts. What this world honors is an abomination in the sight of God." The Pharisees loved their money, and what you see in the scripture, they scoffed at Jesus' teaching. You know, they criticized him. Now, the Pharisees may not have thought they were serving their money. I mean, they may have had good intention. But what did their laughing at Jesus show? Say again? They didn't believe him. What else?
Short-sightedness.
What else? Good. What else?
Living under the law.
What else?
Showing their lack of wisdom.
Lack of wisdom.
Jealousy.
Rejection of him and everything he stood for.
Rejection of him and everything he said for. All right. There's one more.
One more.
I could go with stupidity, yeah, but there's, I'm going to couch it a little differently. All right. How many times, and we'll do a show of hands, okay? We'll do a show of hands, all right? How many times have you been in a worship service and the pastor's preaching and you think this, he's preaching right to me? I mean, there's 2,000 people in the room, but he knows exactly what's going on with me, and he's preaching exactly, you know? Yeah. You know? Jesus knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. That's why they laughed at him. He knew their hearts. They considered their wealth a sign of God's approval.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to be wealthy to be loved by God, do you? Thankfully, no. Thankfully, no. All right? And though great prosperity may earn us praise, it's never a substitute for the devotion and service that we have to God and vice versa.
Amen.
You know? And like these religious leaders who focus on the outward appearance and trying to impress others, you go back to verse 13. You cannot serve God and money. And if you get nothing else out of the lesson, that's what you want you to take home. It's black and white, yes.
What is the verse about to from Moses given?
Much is required.
Required.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Much is given, much is required. God loves a cheerful giver. And I've often told churches that I've served, the offering ought to be the happiest moment in the service. You know, it shouldn't be a dead time. It ought to be the happiest time in the moment. Because when the verse, God loves a cheerful giver, is where we get our word hilarious. The word cheerful is hilarious. So we should be laughing as the offering plate comes around. You know? Tony.
I was studying Acts one day, and I noticed that the first indication that people were born again is they opened their wallets and started giving to one another.
Great point.
And,
amen.
Yeah. First people saved in the New Testament were giving.
Right.
Yeah.
And God treasured that so much that when Ananias and Sapphira toyed with that, the Holy Spirit struck them dead.
Yeah. When you try to rob God, you know. And so I look forward to the Sundays when I can bring my tithe. You know, when I write the check, you know, and I still write a check, I don't give online, you know. I write the check, you know, because I like to put it in the plate, you know. Nothing wrong with giving online, but I like to put it in the plate. And I just, like, today's the day I get to tithe. Today's the day I get to tithe, you know. And God doesn't need my tithe, you know. Patrick.
Do you remember Larry Burkett?
Larry Burkett, the late Larry Burkett, yes.
Some of the same principles.
Yes.
That were germane to his
financial. Yes. Great guy. Okay. A couple of personal words. The people leasing our house are moving out. So I need you to pray more fervently. They're leaving the end of October. And I emailed my realtor and told her this is what I owe, if they'll just pay me what I owe. You know, I've had my losses. And so we're praying for God's will. Becky's brother, they cannot, this is her only brother that lost part of his foot. They cannot control the fluid in his body. And we don't know if that was him being on a ventilator for so long, or he's smoking, or both, or a combination of things. times. So they basically said there's nothing else they could do. Now, he might outlive me, you know, or you. We never know. But that's what's going on in our personal lives. Yes, sir.
I think we need to know, folks, he's making two house payments when he moved here from Alabama.
Mississippi.
Is he in Bryan?
Mississippi.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me.
Just get it right. Yes, sir.
We need to pray for him. You know, Jim Bryan made two house payments. Did you know that? Frankly, all the while he was teaching here.
Yeah.
And so we need to pray to get this worked out.
Yeah. Good people are from Mississippi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Elvis. B.B. King. Eric Williams. Ole Miss won. Mississippi State won. Yes, sir. Arkansas won. Yeah.
Navy won.
Navy won. Baylor won. Yeah. So there is a God. There is a God. Eric, come on up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the bountiful resources you give us. Most of all, we are so grateful for our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.